If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we've got a special treat here tonight. We've got our first ever Illini guy's student correspondent, Zan Bando, is here to talk to us a little bit. Now, Zan has done something that I have never done as a guy who went to SIU, but he has graduated from the University of Illinois. So, Zan, congratulations. That is a heck of an accomplishment.
Thank you. I'm very grateful. I knew the day would come. I just didn't know how fast it would come. And it's truly been an unbelievable ride. As someone who didn't grow up an Illinois fan whatsoever, but grew up a fan of following the Big Ten, it was very cool to say that, yes, I have graduated from a Big Ten institution. So it was a phenomenal second semester, a great last weekend, and memories that I'll forever cherish. So,
excellent. Yeah. And so who did you grow up a fan of? I'm almost afraid to ask you.
Michigan State.
Oh, Zan. Well, it's hard. You know, it's hard to argue.
If I would have said Michigan, would it have been worse?
Well, it wouldn't be any different. I was gonna whine about whoever it was, so it didn't matter.
Oh, that's funny.
You were in a no-win situation there, Zan.
Okay. I grew up a Michigan State fan because my grandpa is an alumnus.
Ah, cool.
So,
that's a good reason then, right? That's a legitimate reason. Mm-hmm. You know, grandfathers went there. Hard to argue that. So one of the things we wanted to talk about is why don't you go through, obviously you finished up this second semester here working with Illini guys, and we had a blast having you on board. But why don't you tell some people a little bit about some of the other places that you've written for and what you've done over the 4 years, just so they, because they may find your name familiar, but maybe they didn't realize that was you.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I kind of had my own little unique path all the way to where I am now, which I'm glad that this is one of the last places I ended up before college was over. But I started as a little known journalist just outside of Chicago. I went to Downers Grove North High School. It's a school out in the western suburbs. And I was one of two sports editors there during my junior and senior year of high school. And on top of that, I was also a team manager for the boys basketball team and the varsity football team. So I knew from a pretty young age that I wanted to be around sports. And I went to Illinois because of how accessible the campus was. And the College of Media was super receptive to me because they hosted these two summer camps 2 years in a row called 360 Sports and Media Camp. It does not exist anymore. And basically what that camp did was for an entire week, you immersed yourself in all of these different things that you could get involved in as a student there. And one of the things that wasn't really spoken of was, you know, beat reporting or outlets. So I didn't really know a whole lot about it until I got to Illinois, but I actually started as a contributor for Armchair All-Americans. And while I liked what they were doing in the beginning and I liked the vision that they were at, they had like a local perspective to the whole Illinois scene. What I didn't like was the lack of structures. I decided after a short time that I wasn't going to continue there. And then basically I just became a really huge Illinois fan. And I happened to go to every single home basketball and football game that I could. And on top of that, I was also working women's basketball and women's volleyball as a score box operator. So in those roles, what I would do is when you stream the games on BTN Plus, which is that one service that all Illinois fans hate paying for because they only use it for about a week. So what I would do is I would sit in this control room in State Farm Center and I would toggle the score as the score would change. So my job was extremely thankless because somebody had to do it because otherwise the stream would look messed up and the score wouldn't be right. So right. I did that for 3 out of 4 years and it was a very good gig, but I pretty much was just a fan while doing freelancing on the side. And that's when I found FanSided, and I'm still with them today. But the one thing that I was always missing, and this was one of the things that I feel made me unique, was I had a lack of access as compared to my peers. Unfortunately, some of the places I had written for in the past did not give me the same opportunities that Illini guys did. So I knew that once that opportunity popped up and once my instructor in an advertising class of all sorts kind of told me about it, I knew that that would be a good fit to get more of my bylines out there. So that's kind of a bit of my journey. And it's been pretty awesome because I've gotten a mix of also being a fan, but covering them at the same time too.
So that's so cool. And, you know, kind of what we were going to talk about today is something that maybe a lot of us older fans have forgotten, you know, which is how your fandom, you know, and you're a great example, how your fandom can start as a college, student, and it can grow into a lifelong love affair with the school's teams. And you got here at a time where, in reality, the football and basketball team were really, really struggling.
They were really struggling. So to go off of that, my senior year of high school, the football team was at probably its lowest point. They were 2-10. They started 2-0 that year, and they lost 10 games in a row. And kind of nobody knew the direction of where that program was going to go. It was Lovie Smith's second season because he got there in 2016. And kind of people were thinking, okay, the first 2 years, maybe he's not going to do very well just because his recruiting class isn't so great and things are going to turn around. Well, in 2018, unfortunately, they went 4-8. But Mike, if you remember in that 2018 season, they had a lot of close losses. They lost that game to South Florida at Soldier Field, if you remember that. There were a couple other ones that were just didn't feel right. I remember they lost a game to Minnesota that wasn't very good. They lost to Purdue on homecoming that year, but they also had a couple nice wins. They beat a Minnesota team my sophomore year. So they were able to get revenge from 2018. But sticking with the 2018 season, that season ended with a 63-0 loss to Iowa at home. And that was when people were like, okay, maybe Lovie Smith really isn't the answer that they were looking for. And then that's when he got that contract extension. But in my second year in 2019 was really when everything changed, because that was the team that started 2-4, had the miracle against Wisconsin, and went all the way to the bowl game, unfortunately losing to Cal in a really kind of hellacious effort. There were some controversial calls that didn't go Illinois' way in that game. And a lot of people thought, okay, if they win the Cal game, maybe they're turning the corner. But they've kind of had a seesaw run in my 4 years there when it comes to football. I kind of want to get your thoughts as to kind of what transpired there, and just out of curiosity, just kind of what you saw in their evolution, because I thought from the beginning that they were going to get better, and then they did, and then unfortunately they kind of went back to square one again. So I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, as a guy who grew up, you know, and my first game was in the Moeller era, which was probably the most painful Illinois era of my lifetime. I've been lucky enough to see good things. And when Josh Whitman announced that he was going to hire Lovie Smith, I thought that was a fantastic hire. And I thought it was a risk.
I thought so too.
Yeah. I thought it was worthy of taking. You know, you've got an NFL coach, so there's going to be an adjustment from, the pro game to college. And I think a couple things hit him pretty hard. One was, is as an outsider, because I didn't have any access either, just like you, Zan, it looked like he was trying to run a college program as if he was still in the NFL.
I thought so too.
And I'm not certain that works for everybody. I'm sure we could find a guy that it worked for, but it didn't work for Lovie. And then the second thing was, is I didn't think, and you know, the coaches who were listening to this would say, well, maybe it's it was an amount of how much money he could offer his assistants. The people who were more, you know, fans of the AD might say, well, he couldn't hire very well. But for whatever the result was, Lovie's staff, I didn't think, was as strong as it could have been. And when you put those two things together, I think that made it really hard for him to succeed. I would have loved to have seen him succeed, but unfortunately it didn't work.
Me too, I think, as everybody would have. And just to go back to it, something I always remember my freshman year is the first game of the season, and they played Kent State. And I went to the game, and I was with my dad. And to promote the game, what they did was if you were one of the first, I think it was 400 or 500 fans, whatever it was, you get these Lovie beards. So what they want you to do is they want you to come through the turnstiles and put on the Lovie beards and wear them the whole game. And that's also the game that, in case you recall, Tommy Barrett was the quarterback for Kent State, and he nearly beat Illinois. We won on, I think it was like a last second field goal or something like that in the first game of the season. And a lot of people were like, okay, is this Illinois team really that good? Well, apparently, as we find out later, Illinois really wasn't that good that first year. But my sophomore year, I feel like, though, was when everything changed. They had a couple of really, really tough losses that year. One of them that comes to mind was the Eastern Michigan game. That was when Tanner Glass was the quarterback, and he torched Illinois for a bunch of yards, and Illinois had to rally to make it a close game. They ended up losing on a field goal again. That was one of the themes early on in that 2019-20 season, were just how close they got. And all of a sudden, things started to turn the corner when they beat Wisconsin on homecoming. And I hate to admit this on here, but I'm going to do it anyway. I was one of the many people who left that game in the fourth quarter thinking it was over. So to this day, on the day that the original cams closed, I left Memorial Stadium thinking that Illinois was going to lose to Wisconsin, and they thankfully came back and won. That's what saved their season. Yep. And then, like I was mentioning earlier, I grew up a Michigan State fan, so you have no idea how uncomfortable I was watching that epic comeback when Illinois came back from being down 28-3 to win that game and to clinch a bowl game. And that was the first time in my life that I'd ever rooted against MSU in a football game. So that was different. That was very different.
Yes. Well, that's a cool story. And like I said, I think ultimately, you know, Lovie was a risk worth taking. And unfortunately, it didn't come out. But that's what happens, you know. Obviously, Steph Curry wouldn't shoot a three if he knew he was going to miss it.
Right, of course.
But he's, even when he misses, he's trying his best. And so I felt like Lovie Smith was what we needed. And you know, like, whereas Tim Beckman, I met Tim early in his tenure before the first game, you know, that summer. And I was like, oh, my gosh, we're not going to win many games. So I don't think that was ever the case with Lovie. It just didn't quite gel. And so then all of a sudden this year, what was it like for you to see a coach like Coach Bielma come along, who's got I think he's got a plan for how many breaths he's going to take every day. He plans everything.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'll tell you a cool story about that. So just before the first game of the season against Nebraska, they actually have their night where they do this event. They actually have it this week. I will not be able to make it, but in late July, last summer, they held an event with a meet and greet with Brett Bielema, Andre Curbelo, and Omar Payne. So it was a cool way for Bielema to meet all the alumni and all that. And the coolest part about that whole event, Mike, was that Brett gave every single table 20 minutes of his time. And I thought that was the first really cool thing about him was, okay, not only does this guy want to try to win right away, he wants to try to connect with the fans. And I thought that was a really cool experience, was just seeing him go around, you know, ask people, you know, what they were thinking for the season, how many games they were going to. And, you know, when I told him, I'm like, yeah, I'll be at every home game and I'll try to root for you as hard as I can. That's when I knew that, okay, Brett might be the right guy, because it's clear that he cares about his alumni base. And without a doubt, it's one of the coolest things that I've ever seen a coach do, is just connect with the fans. And that's something that I think Lovie could have done a little bit more of, is just, you know, giving back to the alumni base. And I think so far Brett's been doing a fantastic job. And in terms of like social media promotion, ever since he's been hired, I think every single department related to the football program has really stepped up their game too, because they realize what he's trying to do, and to bring a winner back to Champaign. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, and he's, if you want to see something pretty cool, if you watch him work like a quarterback club, you know, I had the good fortune of getting to go to the quarterback club after their golf outing with him. And he had every single assistant coach and all the analysts go out with a foursome. And it was so funny, because they came back and these coaches had bonded with the people on their holes when they were going, you know, around, or in their foursome going around the golf course. And, you know, Coach B was having a great time. And so when they came back from the golf tournament, it looked like a bunch of friends coming back. It didn't look like, here's the coaching staff and here's the quarterback club.
That's awesome.
Other than the youth and the size of the, right, of the coaching staff, you would have thought it was just a bunch of friends coming in. And that's when I knew it was going to be markedly different than, I gotta be honest with you, markedly different than anybody. I mean, you got to go back, you know, to the Mike White era, where everybody was press and flesh and kind of a part of everything, you know, to that extent. So football seems to be on its, you know, returning. Now, you also came during the second year of Coach Underwood's tenure. And of course, Coach Underwood got here after Coach Gross, and oh boy, there just wasn't, you know, when he got there, the cupboard was bare. And of course, Coach Underwood had to almost hollow that out and start over again. What the heck did you think? Now here you are an Izzoite, and you have to come and watch a pretty painful season there. What, that was the 12-21 year,
right?
How did you deal with that being a, I mean, come on, I need to know the truth. Was a little bit of that Michigan State not willing to leave after seeing that?
Yeah, so I'm going to say this, and this is just from a student perspective. You're going to find this very interesting. So as you know, and thousands of other people know, Orange Crush is our student section. So let me take you back a little bit. It wasn't as fun then as it is now. When I tell you that my freshman year, Orange Crush was empty as could be. You could go to State Farm Center in the middle of the first half, and you could have fundraised the lowest amount of money for Orange Crush, and you could still sit in the front row. Some people were so bored at the games that they would literally sit there and do their homework, because that's literally how boring half of the games were. I was not one of those people, but I will say my freshman year, it was certainly a culture shock, because I had only known what winning had looked like. So it was very interesting to see, like, okay, this freshman class, you know, with Georgie and Io, like, this is interesting. And I feel like as the season went on, and as the season got into, you know, as the calendar switched to 2019, you could see some things start to gel well. Their record wasn't good, but you could tell that as the season went along, they started to find that chemistry. And what was really cool was Ayo and I shared a class together. It was a freshman level journalism class. And just the way he carried himself in that class and just around his peers, you know, really showed me like, okay, they got the big recruit that they wanted. And of course, it's paid off as he's now a key member of the Bulls. So it was cool to see, you know, freshman year, even though they weren't good, you could see what the future was going to hold in 19 and 20 and beyond. And I had mentioned this to you before we got on here, but a story I have about Whitman, I was going to fit this in when we were talking about football, but I feel like it's a good time to bring this in now. So they don't really do this anymore, but they had in August of 2018, they had what was called the Illini Pride Hype Night. So you'd become a member of Illini Pride, you buy, and how you would do that was you buy your football and basketball tickets. Well, that year they were combined, so you paid one single price for both. So you go into Folinger Auditorium. It's one of the bigger auditoriums on campus. It's right in front of the main quad. And a bunch of us went in there, and we heard from, I think it was Josh Whitman, an Illinois assistant football coach, who I think is no longer there, Justin Spring, and the current volleyball coach, Chris Thomas. And I remember Whitman at a Q&A, and I had a question for him because it seemed like everybody else was nervous to ask a question. And I said, Josh, it's nice to meet you. I introduced myself, and I'm like, I'm a freshman here. When I walk away from this campus in 4 years as hopefully a diehard Illinois basketball fan and football fan, what should I remember? And he goes, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know how good we're going to be in 2 to 3 years, but I can tell you that you are going to have memories if you stick with me that will be with you for a long time. Well, I knew from that day forward that it may not come right away, but that Illinois was going to be good at some point during my 4 years there, whether it was in football or basketball. And thankfully, basketball happened to be the one.
Yeah, and that's a cool story. And it's clear that you know, Josh has hired better and better as his tenure goes on. And he keeps, Coach Underwood was kind of the coup. And since then, you know, he's been on a pretty good roll for the most part. Obviously, nobody's perfect. Now, there's one question I have to ask you. February 5th, 2019, a certain number 9 ranked Michigan State Spartan team came in to play against the Illini. And gosh darn, if Illinois didn't win that game, 79-74, and you're just a young, impressionable freshman. Were you all Illini in this one, or were you Michigan State? How did you deal with that?
Yeah, well, I can tell you this. I went to that game, and I'm very glad I did, because a lot of my friends who were also freshmen at the time went to that game. And for some of those people, it was their first game of the season. For me, I'd been to every single home game except for the ones over break to that point.
Right.
So I was used to the whole routine. And I got to say, there are 5 Illinois moments just for basketball alone in my 4 years there that I'll remember. And that's one of them for sure. I remember walking in there right as the game started. Orange Crush was as packed as I had ever seen. I had never seen that many people in our home student section. I'm like, okay, this is a really big game for an 8 o'clock start. And that game started, and wow, I just remember how back and forth it was. It was electrifying. You have to remember, that's the Michigan State team that that beat Duke that year in the NCAA yep. tournament when they had Zion Williamson. That team was loaded. And I just remember, I'm like, okay, it looks like Illinois is going to play Michigan State. And that's kind of the day that I said, after they won that game, that I was going to be all in with the Illinois program. And easily the coolest part was me being able to storm the court with thousands of people when that game was over. Cause it was awesome.
So when you made it into the newspapers and on the internet this year, this is old hat for you. You've rushed the court before. I thought that was like your first time when they had you on.
I stormed the court for the Michigan State game too. I vividly remember hugging Andres Feliz and telling him how proud I was of him. And I remember being in the mosh pit when Ayo Dosunmu was being interviewed. So, yeah.
Wow. So I did not realize that you were a grizzled veteran at this whole court rushing thing. I thought that was like a first time thing, but turns out that you're an old hand at this.
No, I've done it. It's just at the time, you have to take a few things into consideration. Number one, I was a freshman, and I would say in terms of the Twitter community, not a lot of people really knew who I was yet.
Yep.
And I feel like my senior year, a lot of things had changed. I had just said yes to you guys just a couple of days before that game started.
Yep.
And yeah, then that whole thing happened. So it was really cool. I didn't think a court storm could top the Michigan State one, but then that one happened, and I'm like, okay, I got to experience it twice. So
Michigan State was one of your five, and then it sounds like the court storm when they won the Big Ten was one of your other five.
Yeah, and then I'd say my third biggest one was going for the entire weekend 2 years ago to Indy to watch Illinois win the Big Ten championship.
Oh, yeah, that would have been great.
It was really cool. It's probably my third one. Fourth one for sure, first ever bragging rights game. I went this past season when they won, so it was cool to see that. And then probably my fifth favorite memory was my first ever game as a freshman. I requested to shadow whoever the Big Ten student U announcer was at the time. So I got a courtside seat right behind the bench. So that was cool.
Yeah, that is fun. That was one of the things that was cool about Illini guys is occasionally, depending on who we've got at the game, sometimes I'll sit down on press row. And so I'll get pictures from people who will take a screenshot of their TV. And they'll go like, who's the fat guy behind the bench? And usually where they sit us, it's between the official scorer and the guy and the referee and the guy.
Yeah, because I've looked over it press row tons of times just to see who was over there. So I thought there was something familiar about that.
Yeah, and that was cool. The other thing is before the Purdue game. I got, you know, as a guy who's 6'1" and I probably need to lose some weight, you know, I do, but I was at the Purdue game, and this is where you learn that basketball players are literally a different species, because I almost get run over by Zach Edey as he comes out of the tunnel. And I'm not even certain he saw me down there. You know, I mean, the guy is ginormous at 7'4". And then 2 minutes later, Kofi comes ambling down and I have to get out of his way. And trust me, you know, if Kofi ran into me, that'd be like shooting a spit wad at Godzilla. I don't even know if he'd even feel me. And then before the game, Myers Leonard was there and we got a chance to I almost ran into Myers Leonard, who is way bigger now after 10 years in the NBA. So I got to be honest with you, that one game is when going from being a fan to, you know, and being in a media guy who's the voice of the fans was really weird, because I felt like a hobbit from the Lord of the Rings. I'm like, holy cow.
Right. Exactly. That's one of the things that, that I never got to experience was being on press road, is because at the time of me going to all those games, I don't have the same access that I do today, but I could understand how intimidating that it must have been just to be in the presence of all of those guys working the game instead of being in the stands.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, their physical size. Let me tell you something. When you see Zach Edey, when you see Myers Leonard, when you see Kofi Coburn on TV, you're like, yeah, those guys are pretty big. But when you see them up close, you're like, oh, my Lord, these guys are giants. And you really don't understand until they're right in front of you up close and personal. And then you're like, wow, that's scary.
I can say from experience too. As a matter of fact, Kofi Coburn and Io DeSumo lived in the same dorm that I did, and I had the unique pleasure to shake Kofi Coburn's hand one time, the first time I ever met him, and it's easily one of the biggest hands I've ever seen. Yeah. So, it's just those little things like that. Even your thing with running into all those players and Myers Leonard too on top of it. That's something that you'll never forget. I'm pretty sure when Myers Leonard posted his tribute to Illinois on Instagram, I'm pretty sure he stole the Jumbotron photo that I took, because I took this photo and I tagged him in it on Twitter. And it got like hundreds of likes. I was very confused as to why. Apparently nobody had tweeted that Myers Leonard was at the game. Yep. And I'm pretty sure when looking at his Instagram post that the photo that he posted and the photo that I tweeted were identical. Unfortunately, I didn't get credit for it, but I guess that's another small claim to fame that I have.
Well, so, if Myers is listening, it that was Zan.
yeah.
So, any other memories that you have of Illini sports that stick out before we wrap this up? Because I think kind of, and maybe you can encapsulate this, but it's really interesting. You have to have the right leadership, i.e., an athletic director, to get the football, basketball programs up and running well, and for the athletic director to cause that to happen. He has to get those right head coaches in place. You get the right head coaches in place in college sports, and kind of the sky's in the limit. And we've probably got the best duo of basketball football coaches since Mike White and Lou Henson.
For sure. And
that's pretty. Any thoughts on that in terms of what you think of Coach or of Josh Whitman, and then also what you think of the journey that you were able to take. To some of the success he had.
Yeah, I mean, I think Whitman's the right guy. I know you're not one to. I know you personally have told me, both publicly, not that you're not one for schools to go out and hire alums. But I just think with Whitman's experience being on the football team when he was, and then going on the path that he did as an AD, I think it gave him a lot of pride to come back to his original alma mater and really try to reverse the ship, if you will. And I think he's done a remarkable job of that. I also think just his passion for all of the sports in general, like just the way he speaks about even the non-revenue sports too, and just kind of where the whole state of the Illinois athletic spectrum is just a very positive thing. And it's something that I feel going back to that, Illini Pride hype night that I told you about 4 years ago. I think some of the things he spoke about in that session are now coming to fruition, and I think it's really great. And I just think it's great for all of the incoming classes now, because all of these incoming classes can see, you know, the back half of what my 4 years saw, which was the beginning of the turnaround, and now they get to see it to its completion for future classes to come. And I think that's truly outstanding.
Yeah. And I look at it as, you know, I almost think if they wanted to, and again, this is something that doesn't resonate with anybody except old people, but, you know, we really lived in the 80s. There was a tagline that they used, the 80s belong to the Illini. And we really felt like, you know, year in and year out, they were top 20 in both sports. And it was a great time to be an Illini fan. And you know, that was the Neil Stoner era. And I almost think the way Whitman and Underwood and Bielma have this going, along with the other coaches, obviously, you know, maybe the 20s belong to the Illini, and maybe the Illini guys should lift that and say the 20s belong to the Illini guys as well, because we're here along for the ride. And, you know, you really feel like, you know, this is how you create fans. You know, this type of performance, this is what Ohio State fans and their students have gotten for decades. Mm-hmm. And you can understand why Ohio State is so popular and why, you know, Michigan has been popular and Duke and Alabama. And it seems like Josh Whitman and the people he hired are equally determined to try to meet that standard and get a team that's competitive at the highest levels. And it's going to be fun if Coach B looks like he's on a great path. And boy, it'd be nice to see both the football and basketball teams, you know, making some noise nationally for the first time in ages.
Yeah, I'd love to see them both, you know, work alongside each other and continue their success, especially basketball. But Mike, I got to say, as a newer Illinois fan, there's going to be nothing that will excite me more than, you know, in 3 to 5 years when I'm an even older alum and I'm watching Illinois potentially in Indianapolis playing for a Big Ten football championship, just like they did, just like the basketball team did when I was in undergrad. And I think that we're closer to that feat than people may realize. And as you know from knowing me from the short time that you have, I'm probably one of the biggest Illinois optimists on the planet. And I think slowly but surely in the next 3 to 4 years, if the recruiting cycles can go Illinois' way, they have a pretty good shot at it. Yep. So I think it starts with this season. I think it starts with them getting off to a 3 or 4-0 start and finding, you know, 3 or 4 wins to maybe get to 6 or 7 wins. I think 7 wins for this current group and for this new quarterback is not out of the question at all. And I was going to mention one other thing.
Okay.
And for anybody listening to this who's planning to attend Illinois as a student, you have to experience at least one magical season in your 4 years as a student just by going to games and stuff. And I really think my last year, my senior year, was that season, because as many of you know, COVID took a lot of things away. In 2020, there were no fans, any of the games at State Farm Center. So being able to have that closure for all of us as seniors and for some others as grad students or fifth year seniors, we had that closure of being able to go to games and say, yeah, my senior year was the most normal of the bunch when it came to going to games. And I really feel like that was true for myself. And, you know, I'd say the games that I'll never forget are some of the last few. And I really feel like it's the start of many more wonderful memories that are going to take place in both Memorial Stadium and State Farm Center over the next 3 to 5 years. I feel like being able to have that closure for me as a senior to go to all those games and to see all those big moments, even through the losses to Purdue and Arizona and stuff, was a really cool feeling. So, yeah.
Excellent. Any final thoughts that you want to put out to the fans there for those who are listening to Eye on the Illini?
Well, I first want to say it's been a pleasure being on the podcast. I've done it once before. This was easily the more entertaining of the two. And I want to say for those of you who are listening for the first time and are thinking of subscribing to Illini Guys, I would do it because I'd say slowly but surely they are becoming an outlet that really feels like they are talking to the fans. I got to say, out of all of the places that I've ever worked as a journalism student, you guys have been the most accessible in terms of just giving the fans what they want. And I think that's really cool. And I think that's something that's missing from the space, is really catering to the people who support the product that everybody's trying to put out. So I just want to say, for anybody listening to this for the first time and are on the fence about subscribing, I would highly suggest doing so. Absolutely.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Zan. And again, to tell people, Zan was our first ever Illini Guys student correspondent. Obviously, he came to us with some writing chops as he had worked at FanSided. And it was great to have him covering some of the sports in the spring and helping out as the basketball season closed, and then going through spring football and some of the other sports. It was awesome to have a different voice out there. You know, you read the stuff from Matt Stevens and Kedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy Larry Smith and myself, and it was good to have another point of view. And obviously, he's much closer to the age of that of the college student, obviously, and provides a different generation that we probably only get when Connor writes basketball previews or analysis of individual players. But we really loved having Zan around, and any students who are, you know, in journalism that want to be a part of this, you know, all you need to do is send your resume to info@IlliniGuys.com. We are looking not to replace Zan, because we know that that's not possible, but we would like to have somebody else to carve a new path as well. One last thing, Zan, why don't you tell people about what the next steps are for you? Because that was pretty exciting news as well.
Sure, yeah. So as much as I love the orange and blue and will still continue to bleed the orange and blue, I will be taking my talents, I guess, to Chicago, and I will be studying sports media at Northwestern's Medill School, just outside of Lower Wacker. It's going to be a very interesting graduate program. It's a year-long, four quarters. I get to have my own cohort, which is really cool, and we'll get to do some very interesting things. We'll be covering, of course, sports, but also news and some other journalism topics that you may not think about. And the whole goal by the fourth quarter is for me to have secured a full-time job. So I do think that opportunities like this, especially if you're a young college student trying to break into the industry, you have to take chances sometimes. And Mike, as I've told you before, I appreciate that you and your whole team took a chance on me, and I'm really excited to see what the next chapter holds. And you guys have certainly made me a better journalist, and I hope in a short time here, even though I do have just a little bit more time left, I have about a month left with you guys, I feel like I've done some good things, and I really do hope that I've made the site better because of my presence. And I just want people to know that no matter what path you take in this industry, if an opportunity comes up, you should always take it, because you never know who the next guy down the pipeline is going to be. And as I was stating before, I think Illini Guys has an amazing thing going right now. And I really do think if someone could fill my shoes, not necessarily replace me, but if someone could fill my shoes and, again, carve their own path and do their own thing that makes them unique, I think it'll make the whole operation and that much more smoothly. So that's what I have to close.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. So with that, folks, we greatly enjoy Zan coming on tonight. And of course, if you like what you've heard, let the passion of the Illini Guys promote your business. We have sponsors lining up right now for our fall Illini Guys Sports Spectacular radio show season. And we also have people who are trying to advertise here on this Eye on the Illini and our other podcasts, Sturdy for 30 and KED's Recruiting Roundup. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at info@IlliniGuys.com. Find out how easy it is to reach diehard sports fans with IlliniGuys.com. And of course, listen to those other podcasts. They are fantastic as well. Give all of us 5 stars, because that allows us to reach new people. And as I said, if you go to IlliniGuys.com, you can join 1 week. The first week, we do not charge you until day 7. So it's a free trial. You get 6 days to try it out. And on the 7th day, you're charged. And then we find that most people love the Illini Guys, especially if they go back on the message boards where they get a chance to hear what's going on before it actually happens. And as a last thing, if you go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, you will see the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That is our 52-week, year-round, 2-hour syndicated sports show. It's on 29 stations across the state of Illinois. You go to that chart and you can find the city, the station, the day, and the time. Thank you all, folks, for listening to this. Go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.